Let's turn together in the Bible and read our scripture lesson. During Advent, we have been looking at some of the grandmothers of Jesus. Well, great, 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 how many greats, grandmothers of Jesus. Last week, we looked at Tamar. Today, we're going to be looking at the woman named Rahab. I begin reading at Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Jesus, which says this in verses 1 and 5. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And partway down it says, Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now let's turn in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites who have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax, the ones that she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven, above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this silver cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your sisters, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied a silver cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." And then in chapter 6, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've been a minister for quite a few years. And over the years, I've met lots of people, lots of pastors and evangelists and servants of Christ. Some of them were extremely memorable. I'll never forget them because they had stories. I met a man who said, "I used to be a member of a biker gang, and I did drugs, and I stole, and I beat people up, and I was just a terrible person. And then I met Jesus, and now I just preach the gospel." I met people who said, "There was a time in my life when I was an out-of-control drug abuser and drunkard, and my life was just going straight down into the pit, and Jesus reached down and lifted me up and transformed me, and now here I am, the pastor of a church." I heard these stories and talked to these people, and I was almost jealous of them, because their stories were stories of tremendous transformation and renewal. And my story just seemed kind of boring. I was born to a young couple who had been married for a year or so, and they were both Christians, and they brought me up in a Christian home. They loved each other and were kind and generous and good examples for me. They taught me about Jesus, and from my very earliest days, I knew that Jesus was my Lord, and I have been following him as best I can ever since. Not super exciting. Now, Rahab was much more like the former drug dealer and former drunkard than she was like me. Rahab was a woman who was a Canaanite. She was one of those people who were in society that was committed to the worship of idol gods. And she was one of those people that were marked as the enemies of God's people. That was a big strike against her. Another thing about Rahab, she was a prostitute. In the city of Jericho, where she lived, she made her living by welcoming men into her place so that they could get what they wanted. And not only did she do that kind of work, she ran a house where this happened. Basically, her home was a brothel. And her house was built into the wall. And these ancient walled cities, the walls were so thick that you could form rooms inside the walls, and that's where her home was. And that seemed to have been a pretty strategic place for the house of a prostitute, because men could kind of sneak over there and go in. Maybe their wives, their girlfriends, their families wouldn't notice what they were doing. So these places tended to be in the out-of-the-way corners of the city. Well, business for Rahab the prostitute was good. And one day, these two men, two out-of-towners, came to her house, and she must have thought when they came to the door, another couple of clients for me to attend to. But somehow, and surely it was a God thing, Rahab sensed that these men were from the Creator God, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who had power, power that just blew apart the gods of her culture, the gods of her heritage, and she knew that she had to throw her lot in with them. So when the rumor of these men from Israel having come to their city to check it out, to scope it out, to see where its weaknesses were, and they heard that she had gone, that they had gone to Rahab's house, they said, "Rahab, send out these men, because we don't want our secrets to get back to the army of Israel." And Rahab hid the men and gave false intelligence to her own people so that these men could live and make their way back. Well, as the story went, and we didn't read all the details of this, that the people of Israel came to Jericho, a mighty city with big walls, unassailable for people like Israel, and God had them march around the city once every 6 days. And on the seventh day, they marched seven times around the city, and they shouted and they blew their trumpets, and God made the walls come down, and the city was delivered to the Israelites. And that city would not stop God's people from accomplishing the mission God had given them, the future that he had in store for them. But there was one part of the wall that didn't fall down, and that was the part of the wall that held Rahab's house. And she and her family, those who stayed in her house with her, were spared, even as so many others perished. They allowed Rahab and her family, these Canaanites, to settle on the outskirts of the camp. Maybe, I don't know for how long, it doesn't really say, but eventually they became part of the people of God. And it is written that Rahab herself married an Israelite man named Salmon, and that together they had a child, and that child would become the grandfather of King David. And as you know, that means that generations later, she became a direct ancestor of Jesus Christ, of the promised Messiah. God brought into Jesus' family line a Canaanite woman. And in the genealogy in Matthew, the fact that there was a Canaanite woman in Jesus' family is highlighted. It could have been simply omitted, they could have just said all these males from father to son to father to son all the way down, and not take that little excursion in the text, say, oh, and Rahab was the mother, was the wife. Didn't need to say that, but it was important for that to be said. Jesus' family tree has some startling people in it. When I was doing some research preparing for this sermon, I came across a few Bible commentators who seemed very eager to clean up the reputation of Rahab. They wrote things like, well, you know, in those days, when there was someone who ran an inn, who had a place for travelers, sometimes people would be a little suspicious of them, but really they were just business people. You're very honorable. That why, when the text, and I did look into the Hebrew for the Old Testament and the Greek in the New Testament where it talks about Rahab, it is very clear in the text that she was a prostitute. I think people are uncomfortable with the idea of Jesus having a story that is broken, having a ancestry that has these wrinkles, these hiccups, these bumps in it. But Scripture wants us to understand that that is exactly who Jesus is. That he is Emmanuel, God with us. He came to be God with us and to be with us in all of our weaknesses as well as with all of our capacities. We have broken stories. And so does Jesus. We have a history that isn't all perfection. There's rogues and scoundrels in our stories as well. Maybe we would even say the rogue and the scoundrel in my story is me. If you are the scoundrel, or if your story is the story of scoundrels, know that Jesus welcomes you, that Jesus has come for you. Jesus doesn't turn away from you, doesn't reject you. He's not turned off by you because of where you are or who you are. Instead, he says, you are mine. And he came for people like you. Jesus identifies with the brokenness in my life, and he identifies with the brokenness in yours. Now, maybe you're saying to yourself, I'm really not such a scoundrel. I'm kind of like what I was just saying about my own story. You know, that mom and dad were Christians. I was raised to be a Christian. I've never spent time in jail. I've not been arrested. I don't abuse drugs. You know, I'm just kind of a fairly straight arrow. Not perfectly straight, but not terribly bent. But in the eyes of God, I need Jesus as much as the worst of sinners. Jesus came for me, and I need him desperately. And I know what my secret sins are. I know the things that are in my heart, that are in my mind, that are not holy, that aren't pleasing to God. And he knows what's in your heart, and he knows what's in your mind, and he knows your secret sins as well. But he's not turned off from you because of them. He remembers Rahab, his great, great, multiple times grandmother, who was a Canaanite and a prostitute, and was redeemed, was brought in, was healed, indeed, was given a place of prominence, a place of honor in the family of God. You are a person whom the Lord wants to heal. You are someone that he wants to embrace and say, you are mine. There's a song that says, take me as I am. And Jesus does. He takes each of us as we are, with all of our troubles, with all of our failings, with all of our weaknesses. But he doesn't leave us there. What Jesus does is he takes us and he transforms us so that more and more we become conformed to his image, to who he is, so that his values become our values, and the values of brokenness that we were living with are fallen away, and we become a new thing in Christ. And that is why he came. He came, and we look at that in Advent. We long for him to come because he is the hope that we have. The hope of healing, the hope of transformation, the hope of new beginnings, the hope of wholeness. And that is ours in him. If Jesus could accept and even celebrate a Canaanite prostitute great-great-great-great-grandmother, surely he can celebrate you being brought into the family of God, you being transformed by the renewing of your mind and the reorientation of your heart. My friend, I pray that this Advent season, leading up to Christmas, even in this time of COVID, even in this time of social distancing, will still be the time when your distance away from Christ is removed, so that you can be united with him and find that beautiful new beginning. My friend, God bless you. And we talk about this and we say it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.